And one of my favorites. All right, take your Bible and let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. It tells about Goliath over there. Of course, that's familiar to everybody here. It's one of the most popular stories in the Bible. It's 1 Samuel 17. It's about David and Goliath. And 1 Samuel 17, 1 says this, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shokah, which belongs to Judah, and pitched between Shokah and Ezekiah and Ephes Damon over there," it says, "and Saul and the men of Israel gathered together and pitched the valley of Elah and set the battle array against the Philistines, and the Philistines stood on one mountain," you know. And I'm not going to read all, but you know where we're at. And then the Philistines there, and they have a man, the Philistines, named Goliath. He's a champion of the Philistines, verse 4. "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span." I preached about that, how to kill a giant. He's about 13 feet tall there, this guy, Goliath, according to the cubic size. And come down to about verse number 12, and it says, "Now David, the son of Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah," and David was the youngest of the sons of Jesse, whose name was Jesse, and had 8 sons. "And the men went out among for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to battle, and the names of his 3 sons which went to battle were Eliab, firstborn, and next him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul." David stayed at home, obviously, and the 3 oldest, they were old enough to go to war. Verse 15, "And David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, presenting himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren." And David's father says, "Take this food over to your brothers over there," you know, in verse 18. And verse 19, "I saw and they, all the men of Israel, were in the valley of Elah fighting the Philistine. And David rose up early in the morning, left his sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse commanded him. And he came to the trench of the host were going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left the carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. As he talked with him, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistines of Gath, and Goliath by name, the army of the Philistines, and spake according to the words, and David heard them." And of course, you know, David's doing what he's supposed to be doing, kind of deal. In verse 24, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the men, fled from him," etc., "and were some afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and give his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake in the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is the circumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David had a heart right. David was a young man. He wasn't even 14 years old, probably 13 or so at that time. "And if the people answered and said after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And then Eliab, the eldest brother, heard that he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? He said, Hey, what'd you come down here for? You don't need to be here. You're just a little kid. Why are you even asking about this? It's none of your business. Go back home, you know, kind of deal. And he said, He came down. Why did you come down hither? He said, What are you doing here? You don't need to be here. And with whom hast thou left the sheep? And David left the sheep. And I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mayest see us the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And that's a great message. And every preacher's got a message on that. Is there not a cause this morning? And that's what David's saying. You know, the guy's saying, Hey, what'd you come down here for? You don't have any business being here. And of course, David had business. His dad told him, you know, Jesse said, Take this food, go down there. David was minding his business. He'd done the right thing and doing everything. And he goes down there and his brother said, Hey, what are you doing here? All you did is come down here and stick your nose in. You just come down here messing around. You're not a soldier. You're just a little kid. What are you doing here? David said, Hey, I got a reason to be here. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And that's what he's saying. Hey, I've got a reason to be here. And that's life. You know, a lot of things. That's kind of what we say today is because. So David said, I've got a reason to be here. I want you to know this morning, I have a reason to be here this morning. I have a reason to be on this earth, Brother Robert, and it's to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to witness for Him and make a difference. I got a cause this morning. Is there not a cause?
yes, there is a cause. And as a child of God, as a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, we have a cause, we have a charge, we have a command on this earth. David was a little bitty guy. He said, "Preacher, what in the world can I do? I'm just a little old pipsqueak, 7 billion people." David was a little guy, about 13 years old, probably wasn't 4 feet tall. Here was Saul, 13 feet tall. He called a champion. Only time in the world, the Word of God, the word champion appears. It refers to Goliath 3 times. And yet David had a cause, and the cause that David had, he took it, he killed the giant. What he said, it always starts with a cause. There's got to be a reason. There's got to be a fight. There's got to be a charge. There's got to be a command. There's got to be a purpose to get up and to go and to fight. And David said, "Hey, I got a cause this morning." People look and search for a cause. People look their whole lives. They're trying to find something, Brother Alonzo, something to live for, something to get out of bed. They've got to have a cause. I mean, you got people running around PETA. People for the ethical treatment of animals. Now, I love animals. Don't get me wrong. I love Sugar, our dog. She wasn't feeling good the other day, and we were all stood up all night just about praying for that dog. We were all concerned about that. We love our dog, but she's a dog. That's what she is, a dog, D-O-G. They think they're human beings, you know, kind of thing. Listen, it becomes between a human and my dog. That dog's going to go. Amen. Rocky will go. Sugar will go. Rosie will go, kind of thing. I mean, you got people running around climate change. Climate change. Hey, I got news for you. The climate's changing. It's changed. This morning was 30 when we got up. It's about 40 right now. I mean, it's going to change. I mean, they're running around looking for something to fight. They got politicians running around going crazy. You got these conspiracy loony tunes running around. Some people are looking for something to fight and to cause. You got sports fanatics. You got people making money. They're looking for something to live for. They're looking for a cause. They're looking for something just to get them out of bed in the morning. And I want to say to you, as a child of God, you and I have got a cause this morning. Do we ever, man? Brother, we've got a command, we've got a cause, and our cause is simply the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Pearl Lake Baptist Church. It's not Terry Watkins. It's not Republicans. It's not Democrats. It's not anything to do outside of Him. I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul said, "I didn't want to know anything you got going. Don't tell me about the sports, the football, the politics. All I want to know is, are you saved this morning? I want to know about Jesus Christ, what I want to know about." Paul said, Philippians 1:21, "For me to live is Christ. That's my cause," he said. "For me to live, when I get up and I breathe and I get up in the morning, the reason I'm alive and why I live is Christ." He said, "To die is gain." Say, so what is that? That's a cause. On our church tracts and our church sign and everything, one of the scriptures that I put on all of them has been 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. "For we preach not ourselves." It's not about this church, it's not about me. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and Him crucified, and your servants for Jesus' sake." It's all about Him. Romans chapter 11, verse 36 says, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To whom be glory forever and ever." See, ladies and gentlemen, there's a cause, my friend. You and I have a cause. Boy, we got if you're saved and got any kind of sense at all and any kind of spiritual movement in your life, you know there's a cause for Jesus Christ. I'll give you a few things about that. I want to say, number one, there's a cause. We have a cause, yes, for our country's sake. We have a cause for our country's sake. The United States of America is a mad, mixed up, crazy mess. And it's just going to get worse every day. Axios poll last week, and that's a conservative internet site, asked the question, is America falling apart? 83% of the Republicans said yes and 98% of the Democrats. I wonder what's wrong with those other people that don't think where their brain is. I mean, we saw a week ago in our capital besieged. We had a president agonizing on and congressman agonizing on, and five people were killed and something we've never ever seen in this country before. My friend, there's a cause for our country's sake. Let's get Christ back to it. Governor Hobby said about that. Last week, our nation was rocked to our core. We witnessed horrifying scenes of violence and destruction against, and not only our nation's capital, but the very foundation of our democracy. As a hurting nation, we must put aside all of our political beliefs and differences and get unity toward God. Let's get back to that old gospel. Yes, there's a cause for our country's sake. William Grady wrote a great book, What God Hath Wrought. It's about 700 pages. And it goes through the history of America. And I'm telling you, it's an incredible, incredible book. Do you realize America was discovered around 1492? Do you realize, my friend, nearly 6,000 years of history had passed? 4,000 years before Christ. And in 1492, 5,492 years had passed before America was ever discovered. God had this, they went through all Charlemagne, they went through all the different wars, all the different things of history, and there sitting on the side was the greatest nation ever to be discovered that had the name that was founded on the Word of God. What God hath wrought. America, America, God shed His grace on thee, and He crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Never has a nation in the world been founded on the Word of God but this one. Let me tell you, when those pilgrims left them over there, England, they came over here, and I've given you that, they came for one reason. They came over here to worship God in freedom and serve Jesus Christ, and that's the only reason they came. They didn't come. Over half of them died on the voyage, and I'm going to tell you, this country was founded there, and it's going to hell in a handbasket, my friend. And I'm telling you, we got a cause. Let's get back to the old gospel. Let's get back to the Bible. Brother, we got a bunch of Christians now. They're nothing but political, putrefying, phony, pathetic puppets. That's all they are. Bless God, I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. That's all I am. That's all I have ever been. If they're right and line up with a book, I'll line up with them. When they're wrong, bless God, I'm on them. You say, why? There's a cause, brother. And that cause is Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, turn over to Matthew chapter 11. You say, preacher, is there a cause? You better know it. There's a cause for our country's sake. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, do we need some Bible-believing Christians that's got a backbone. Man, it makes me sick what's going on in our country among God's people. I mean, they're caught up in conspiracies. They're caught up in the craziest nonsense. Miss Martha, they have thrown their Bible in the garbage can. Brother, listen, we need to get back to the Word of God. There's a cause for our country's sake. Over here in Matthew chapter 11. I love this. The Lord's over there. They're talking about old John the Baptist. And Jesus said this in Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto them multitudes concerning John. The Bible said over in John chapter 1, they came to him and said, what are you, boy? John came out of the wilderness wearing a leathern girdle, and eking locusts and wild honey. Not a church in this town, in this state, or in this country would have took him on as a preacher. Not a one. Come out of that thing, they say, who are you? Are you that prophet? No. Are you that Jeremiah? No. He said, well, who in the world are you? He said, I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I'm just crying. We're in the wilderness right now, brethren. Jesus asked him over in Matthew 11, said, hey, what did y'all look to see when y'all went out to see John? What were y'all expecting, you know? What were you expecting? One of these little pipsqueak preachers that get on the TV and Fox News and all that? Are you is that what you're looking for? Jesus said, this was a man what you was looking for. Look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 7. And they departed and began to say among the multitudes concerning John, what went you out in the wilderness to see, Jesus said? A reed shaken with the wind? He said, hey, where'd you go out to see some kind of little old sissy that just has no backbone and just get tossed away every little wind and fro and just follows the politics? Hey, what did you see? He said, hey, brother, I'm telling you, that guy John was a man, what he was. Look what he said. But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? You want to see a little sissy? Hey! Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. They're following the Republicans. They're out there with the politicians. We say, hey, they're over there lying. Hey, that guy John was in the wilderness preaching the word of God. Jesus said, well, went you out to see a prophet? He said, I say unto you, he's more than a prophet. I listen to a lot of these old time preachers. I got on my car, I got about 600 of them in USB. Carl Lackey, B.R. Lakin, Ed Ballou, Percy Ray, Jim White. And I'm telling you, them old boys, they ain't Republicans. Bless God, you wouldn't see one of them on Fox News. Ain't no way. They'd tear that thing up, man. Bless God, them are men of God. You wouldn't see them playing games. You wouldn't see them holding up signs, wearing a MAGA hat. Bless God, you would see them preaching the word of God. I'm telling you, we need to get back to some men of God and their cause in our country. I gave Dustin, a fellow that goes street preaching with me, he lives up in Asheville. Love that old boy. He's on fire for God, man. That old boy. I gave him some old USB with a bunch of those preachers on there. And he went out preaching with me Friday. Me and him on the streets, and my wife, Sarah. And old Justin said, man, Brother Terry, I love you, man. I love you, man. He said, you gave me those tapes, man. I'm getting such a blessing. He said, I'm about to stomp the floor out of my car, though. He said, I get listening to those songs, those sermons by those old men of God, boy. He said, man, they're just preaching up a fire. He said, I'm running down the road shouting and beating on my steering wheel, and I'm shouting and stomping on the floor. Hey, we need some men of God that'll stomp on the floor, bless God. Hey, there's a call for our country's sake. Boy, do we need it. God's people need to get back to the old-time gospel. Need to get back to the Word of God. Need to get back to reading the Bible. Our country is founded on the Word of God. And the pilgrims came here. Brother, I like old Lester Roloff, that old evangelist. Miss Martha knows who I'm talking about. She's been around. He's the real deal, boy. That old man was something else. He went home to be the Lord in 1981. And boy, this country needed him. In 1981, he laid it out exactly what's going on. But old Brother Roloff used to say, and I've told this to 100 preachers probably in the last, well, probably 50 preachers in the last 6 months. They're talking about America. America, how bad it is. I said, I like what Roloff said. If you want to save America, get America saved. You want to save them? It's simple. Get them saved. Hey, I'm going to wear a little cap. The Republicans are not going to do it. It's not going to happen. You want to get them saved? Get back to the cause. Get back to the Word of God. I went to the barber shop Friday, finally. My barber's been out. I've been out. I was the first one in there. I wanted to make sure for all the COVID gets in there. And he told me all the people that had COVID after I got there. I thought, of course, I had a K99 mask, a good one on there. But he told me all the people that died and all this. I was thinking, man. But I just prayed, asked the Lord to let him cut my hair, get out of there. But I had a button on. I wear my buttons. I love my buttons. Oh, man, I'm a button guy. Buttoning baseball caps and anything else I can put on. Had a button when I walked in, Brother Alonzo, and it had, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. I walked in there and Leon, there's three guys in there. Leon, he's another barber, he's 82, and Al cuts my hair, I think he's 67. Had another guy, they're all spread out. Another guy, he's just sitting shooting a bull over there from Aniana, and he was sitting in the chair and back there, you know, kind of sitting back like in the chair. And I came in the door and Leon, he said, hey, Terry, what's that button you got on say? I said, Leon, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. And that old guy, Miss Rachel, he was sitting in the chair across the room. And boy, he jumped up. Oh, man, he jumped up out of his chair like that. And I thought that guy was about to get on me, man. I thought, what in the world was going on? He said, that right there is what this country needs. They need to get back to God. We need to get back to Jesus Christ. I took the bump. I pulled that button off and said, hey, buddy, will you wear it if I give it to you? And I threw it to him. He stuck it right on. That's what we need to get back to, brother. We went out on the street Friday, man. We like to froze to death. Windy. It's so windy, man. You're holding him signs is blowing you all over the place. But old Dustin that I go with, he wanted to go. His is off day. He hadn't been able to go. So he wanted to go bad. So I told Hester, I said, let's go because I want to get out there with us. And he's fired up. So we got out there at 3 o'clock. I had to get out there at 3 where the buses are.
that's my house for some reason. And kind of thing. And we're out there, and I love it because all those kids are on the bus stops. And boy, we had a good time. I mean, we had a... So there's a lot of sheriffs running by there. And I mean, the sheriff came by. The big boy, he came by one time. He came by one time. What'd he do? He's doing this. Yeah. You know, they're saying, hey, listen, we need to get back to the call. Man, we had so many horns being honked. We had so many people throwing up their butts. We had some Mexican girls. Honest to goodness, my wife will tell you, they about to come out of the car. They had their heads hanging out the car, and they were screaming. They were all out the car, both sides. And they were going, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I told Brother Dustin, I said, man, I wish I could get that in our church. I wish I could get that excitement and that praise in our churches. You know what this country needs? It needs to get back to the cause and put all this other stuff away. You say, is there a cause, preacher? Boy, you better know it. There's a cause for our country's sake. I'll tell you something else. There's a cause for our children's sake. For our children's sake. Our children are under attack. Take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 9. Well, you turn to Mark chapter 9. I'm going to see what's going on with my phone. Make sure nobody's breaking into my house.
I know it's not Gator. He's in the garage.
Do I?
I know it's not Gator. He's in the garage.
Probably, I got a camera out there. If it sees motion, it tells me it does that kind of noise.
Might be your chihuahua.
It might be the wind blowing leaves around too, but yeah, I don't see.
Probably breathe.
They were biting our ankles.
Yeah, I don't see anything going on there. So nobody delivering. Look at Mark chapter 9. For our cause, I tell you, another cause is our children's sake. We got the idea that our children somehow are safe or something, and somehow, you know, God would just take care of it. But that's not true. Listen, the children are the main attack of the devil. Read your Bible. Jesus said several times, he warned the only group he's warned about over and over is those children. He said about those children, he said, anyone that offend one of these little ones, he said, it'd be better their millstone was tossed around their neck and thrown in the deepest sea. He said, better leave these kids alone. Said one time, they were coming to him, remember that? They had a little children. They said, hey, get these kids away. And Jesus said, what are you talking about? Let them kids come up here. If you don't get converted like one of them kids, you're going to hell, boy. That's what he said. Unless you be converted like one of these kids, you can't enter the kingdom of God. That's what he said. He said, hey, you need more of these kids around you is what you need. Look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, a man brings one of his kids there. And the Bible says this, he brought him to the disciples. And he said this in verse 17, and one of the multitudes asked and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they could not cast him out, and they could not. And he said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer? And he brought him, verse 20, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, his demon possessed, and fell to the ground, wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, he said, how long has this happened unto him? And he said, of a child. That happened when that kid, that devil got in him, that demon got in him, that evil spirit got in him as a child. And I'm going to tell you, our children are under attack. And brother, bless God, there is a cause. You better know it. For our children's sake, somebody's got to stand the gal, brother. Psalm 34 verse 11 says this, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. It's up to me and you to do it. My wife, I've mentioned this before, and God gave me an incredible wife. Sarah's, well, how old? 36, 37 years old?
36.
36. Esther reads her Bible in the morning, probably an hour or so by herself. And then after that, you know what she'll do? She'll go in there and sit on the bed with Sarah Lee and read it out loud to her for probably about 30 minutes or an hour or something. She's 37 years. She's been doing it all her life. My other kids. So what is she doing? There's a cause for our children's sake, brother. Somebody's got to do it. It's got to be us. We got to get there. My little boy, Owen, my little grandson, he's 3 years old. Rachel, my daughter, called me yesterday and it was such a blessing. And he's 3 years old. You know what he's singing? He's not singing, you know, pop doodle doodle doo or whatever they're singing, the rock music kind of. He don't know that stuff going on, man. My grandkids, he's singing,
I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never run in the infantry, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. That's
what he was singing, wasn't it?
That's what he's singing. You say, why? There's a cause for our children's sake.
My daughter, I talked to her yesterday. And she was telling me, Dad, I got a little off track in college, to be honest with you. She said, I got a little bit confused. But she told me this. She's told me this before. She said, Dad, I thank God for growing up in old Bible-believing churches, those Bible-believing preachers that tell it like it is. She said, I thank God going to Jimmy Hale Mission and see those men and working in the track ministry. She said, that just kept me back in line, brought me back. I'm going to tell you, there's a cause for our children's sake. Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart. I hope the Lord comes back. I hope he comes back right now. Wouldn't bother me a bit. I ain't got nothing I couldn't drop right this second. If I get one prayer, I've told you before, I got one prayer, you're out of here. I don't have to think about it. It'd be even so. Come, Lord Jesus, let's go. You say, what about the folks that didn't get saved? Tough, I'm out of here, man. Count me out. Color me gone. I'm gone. But I don't know when he's coming back. Might be 50 years.
Might be 100. Somebody's got to get these kids with a cold, man. We can't just give them to the devil. Can't just give them to the world.
My daughter was saying, Dad, there's so much. She was telling me yesterday, there's so much. All the cartoons, everything is promoting homosexuality. She said, there's so much wickedness on the TV now for these kids. He's after them, man. He's trying to get them. I don't know when he's coming back. This thing may last 100 more years. I don't know. I thought he'd come back the day I got saved. I was listening to Dr. Ruckman, Miss Martha, last week on the YouTube, and he was doing a little dispensation chart showing some of the dispensations. And this was in 1983 he was doing this. And he was drawing it out, and he got there and showed the tribulation and the rapture and the millennium and drawing out some stuff. And he got to the rapture, and he said, hey, this is the rapture right here. This is an event that's going to happen in the next 10 or 15 years. Well, that's been 40 years ago now.
He thought it was. Hey, I'd like for it, but it may not. We have got to get back and call for our children's sake.
Take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I love this verse. Oh man, this is good stuff. I love this old Bible. My goodness, what a book. Timothy, you know, was Paul's disciple, his right-hand man, wrote two of the books of the Bible to him. All that, man, he was the real deal, Timothy, and got saved. And Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, talking about his salvation. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, unfeigned means real. It means it's not fake. Unfeigned means you got the real deal, boy. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, watch this, which dwells first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that it is in thee also.
Paul said it started with grandmama. And I'm going to tell you, we need some grandmothers that love God, that's got a cause, that'll pray with those kids and love those kids and get them out of hell. We need some mothers, bless God, that'll read their babies.
There's a cause, you better know it. There's a cause for our children, man. You better know it, brother. Big time, brother. I don't want my kids. I'll fight for them kids of mine, brother. And I'm here to tell you, I love them little grandkids. My goodness, so. And bless God, if I get a shot, I'm going to try to tell them about Jesus. And I've been without them. They're passing out them tracts, man. I've been out there on the, I remember the lake, my little Noah, he was about 4 years old, and I'm passing out gospel tracts to the lake. He said, no, Papa, let me do it. Let me do it. He starts passing them out. I go to Walmart and I get some tracts and put them in my hand. He said, no, Papa. Papa, let me do it. Let me do it. He's giving out them gospel tracts.
He'll never forget that, see? So what are you trying to say? I'm trying to have a cause for our children's sake, brethren.
Man, God needs some grandmamas that'll pray and get with those kids and lead them and guide them. Tell them about Jesus. I love that old song Brother Billy sung. I learned about Grandma. I learned about Jesus in Grandma's rocking chair. Sometimes when I'm troubled, I wish that I was there. When she spoke of His sweet love, I didn't have a care. I learned about Jesus in Grandma's rocking chair. Let me tell you, are your grandkids learning about Jesus with you? Are they getting around you? Are they getting some of God? Are they getting that? I used to love to hear her hum as she went through the day. And each night at bedtime, I loved to hear her pray. She told me all about heaven waiting way up there. And I first felt the Spirit of God in Grandma's rocking chair. Boy, give us some grandmas. Whew! I got a boy that goes out on the streets with me and preaches. And my brother Dustin, he's up in Asheville, and he's on fire for God. I love that little boy. He's in his 20s or 30s, and man, he's just on fire for the Lord. I'm telling you, man, that guy's something else. And we go out on the streets, and I've been giving him a lot of messages. So he came here when Brother Earl was here, and boy, he's just so pumped up, man, fired up. You know how he got fired up? His wife's grandmother has been his influence. His wife's grandmother, you know what she does? If she goes up to the trade day in Collinsville every Saturday. She spends over $1,000 each month of her own money and buys tracts and Bibles to give out and has a booth and a building up there, Brother Dustin says. And he said that's been the influence and the fire in his life is that grandmother. God, give us some grandmothers. That woman spends $1,000 each week that she could spend on something else to give out Bibles and tracts. Tell people about Jesus Christ. And that old boy, he's on fire for God. And I'll tell you who lit that fire. It wasn't no preacher. It was that grandmama. He's in an old dead church. He's in an old dead Southern Baptist church. But that old grandmama put a fire in him. His wife's grandmama. I want to say, is there a cause? There's a cause for our country's sake. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. That Bible said in Psalm 19, verse 17, people ask me, say, preacher, what do you think is going on in our country? I said, I know what's going on. Think about it. I know exactly what's going on. I've been preaching it for 10 years. I preached a message here of July the 4th, 2010 on the death of a great nation, death of America. And I said in that message, I've been saying it over and over and over in this country, in this church, that America's headed for judgment. We're in trouble. We're in trouble with God. You can't do what this country's done. Psalm 9:17, they said, what's wrong with our country? We done pushed God and pushed Him and pushed Him. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. That includes this one. That's where we're at. There's a cause for our country's sake. There's a cause for our children's sake. Let me say there's a cause this morning. Let me just say for our converts' sake. For our converts, you know who wins them? You and I. Proverbs 11:30 says this, for the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Somebody's got to win them. You and I win them. It's called soul winning. We win them to the Lord. That's what happens. You didn't just wake up one day and say, well, man, I'm going to get saved. Somebody won you to God if you're saved, truly. Somebody won you to God and sold Him to you, told you about it, and bragged and won you to Him. I'll tell you, two of the greatest soul winners that I've ever known locally is old Linton Smith and Jim Trotter. Old Jim Trotter led Bunk and Free to the Lord. He led Charlie Andrews to the Lord out there, Pastor Glory Land. Led Bob Smith, he used to come here to the Lord. Led Stuart Gregg, a missionary in Ireland, to the Lord. That's just a few. Over and over. You know what that old boy did? He led them to God. He won them to God. I'm going to tell you, brother, there's a cause for our converts' sake. Somebody's got to win them. We win them. People don't get up and get saved. Billy Sunday, the great evangelist. Whether there's a Sunday school teacher, Kimball. I told you before, a man named Kimball, he's a Sunday school teacher in Massachusetts. In the 1800s, he had an old boy in his Sunday school class, Dwight L. Moody, who was so ignorant, couldn't even read the Bible. And his old fat little kid that stuttered so bad, couldn't even give his name, Dwight L. Moody. And Kimball went to the shoe shop where he worked and led that old boy to the Lord. And Dwight L. Moody got saved, became the greatest evangelist in modern times. Greatest revivals in America came from Moody. Greatest revivals in Great Britain came from Moody. That old boy preaching about revivals. Moody was preaching one time. Wilbur Chapman got saved. Another great evangelist. Wilbur Chapman was preaching one time. Billy Sunday got saved. Billy Sunday was preaching one time. Mordecai Ham got saved. Mordecai Helm was preaching one time in North Carolina. No country lanky, goofy kid came down the aisle that day. Didn't have enough sense to get out of the rain. Just a goofy kid and got saved. And his name was Billy Frank.
You know him as Billy Graham. He ended up preaching to 2.2 billion people. He said, what is it? Because of somebody's converts. Hey, who would ever thought Mr. Kimball, when he led Dwight L. Moody, the Lord, that old dumb little country boy, couldn't even say, hey, Brother Kimball, is there a cause? Yes, there's a cause for our converts. Not only that, I'll tell you something else about that. I found out a couple of years ago, I was at the park down there in my swing, and I was passing out track talking to people, and I was in the swing, and a fella come over to me and gave him a gospel track. His name was David Self. He was a missionary to Papua New Guinea. He'd been a missionary for years and years and years. And we got talking about one thing and another, just having a good time talking about the Lord. And somewhere Dwight L. Moody come up, and we got talking about Dwight L. Moody and Kim Boyle leading the Lord. He said, do you know what happened after that? I said, I'm not sure. He said, do you know what happened years later? I said, no, sir. Tell me about it. I want to hear it. He said, years after that, Dwight L. Moody was preaching a message, and he is famous and everything. Got through preaching, and a man came to him, brother, Miss Martha, and came to him, and he said, hey, Brother Moody, my name's so-and-so Kimball. My daddy was the man that led you to the Lord. Get this. He was lost. Dwight L. Moody led him to the Lord that day. Dwight L. Moody led Mr. Kimball's son to the Lord. Mr. Kimball led Dwight L. Moody. Hey, there's a cause for our converts' sake, man. We need to get with it, man. I could go on and on and on. The Bible said, Jesus said, go out on the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Jude 1:22, and some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear. Pull them out of the fire. Pull them out. That's what you and I do. Paul said, one time I become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. It's up to us. There's a cause for our converts. James chapter 20 said, let him know that he which converteth a sinner shall from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. That's what he's talking about. That's that second death in hell. Yeah, there's a cause. You better know it for our converts. You better know it. I worked for Exchange Security Bank. I told you about this old boy. He and I got to be good friends. He played guitar. His name was Mike Julie. He was one of the greatest guitarists to ever come out of Birmingham. That guy could hear a song, honest to goodness. One time, he could play the whole song. He had such a memory and a music talent. Unbelievable, this guy. One of the greatest guitarists ever come out of Birmingham. He and I played in rock bands for several years back in those days. Guy was a chain smoker. Only chain smoker, Miss Martha, I've ever known. He smoked one cigarette, he liked the other. He never kept out of mouth. He was a skinny guy with a big old beer belly. Had a long, straight, stringy hair, laughed. We all took drugs back in those days. Anything that could get us high, we didn't care. He never took any drugs. He's too paranoid. He's shaky like this. But he could drink a bottle, he could suck a bottle out of a beer, boy. He could drink a case of beer, man. Had a long, stringy hair and goofy. He could eat. I went to eat with him the first time, and that blew my mind, Brother Robert. We went to Sneaky Pete's over here in Homewood, and he was in front of me. He ordered 6 hot dogs, 2 fries, and a Coke. I just kept going. He looked at me and said, you going to get anything? I said, you didn't just order for me? He said, this is for me. I'm telling the truth, but I'm lying. I'm dying. And I'm telling you, he could eat those 6 hot dogs as quick as you ate your 2. That's the way he was. I led old boy the Lord at Exchange Security Bank 40-something years ago. Brother Ben met him at Home Depot. A few years ago, he was out passing out tracks, and he's working at Home Depot, and I got some of the guys who were out there. I said, come here, don't you meet this guy. I led this guy the Lord about 40 years ago. He's serving God. That guy got out of the rock music business. He had a music studio over at Homewood. He was real popular. It's called Magic Tracks. After he got saved, Miss Martha, he started singing for God. He's made tons of CDs singing for kids and singing for God. And let me tell you, about a month ago, God took that old boy home. He had COVID ID. And bless God, yes, there's a call, Miss Rachel, for our converts. You better know it. Got the privilege of leading that boy the Lord. Had a boy here. Came here a few times, Don Jones. I led him to the Lord about 40 years ago. He's an old dope head. We was all dope heads back then. We didn't have any sense. And I got right with God, got saved. And he come to the house one day, and I was sitting in there, and he come in stone. Don didn't knock on the door. He just opens the door and comes in. He's one of these guys. And he just go to your house looking for food or anything.
He didn't ask nothing. He thought he'd come in. He's going through the refrigerators. Long blackjack hair. Incredible athlete. Had all kinds of scholarships, but he's just a dope head. You know, like all of us back then. And I got right with God sitting in the living room. And he drove up one day, and I was sitting there reading my Bible. And he just come in the house, and he said this: "Why did Jesus have to die? Why did he have to die?" And I took my Bible and showed him how to get saved. And I said, "Don, wouldn't you like to get saved right now?" And he jumped up and ran out the door. And I got up to leave, going out the room, and he comes back in and opens the door and sticks his head in. He says, "Pray for me!" Runs off. He got saved later. He called me about 3 or 4 years ago, and I hadn't heard from that guy. And since that time, 30 years, 40 years ago, he called me on the phone and said, "Brother Terry, I just want you to know, I want to thank you, thank you, thank you for introducing me to Jesus Christ back then." He came to this church some. Died about 3 years ago. Yeah, there's a cause! For I could go on and on and on. David Beard, that fellow, been in prison 17 years, went home to be the Lord a couple years ago. One of our converts, yes, there's a cause, our converts. Somebody's got to win them! I was at Mountain View Baptist here a few years ago, and Nick, David's grandson, little guy, he had a brain tumor, and he went to school there. And they had a big blood drive at Mountain View for Nick, and I went there to give blood. And Maggie was there, and Brother Rouse, he's the pastor there. Our kids went to school there. No, Brother Rouse, he's a really good preacher, good friend of ours. And Brother Rouse didn't know that I knew Maggie or anything, you know. And I never forget it. Esther led Maggie to the Lord. I led David to the Lord. David went home to be with the Lord a couple years ago. Y'all remember David? He came here. And I was there and went in there, and Miss Liz, and I saw Maggie, and Miss Maggie just gave me, you know, a big old hug. We're just good buddies. And she just saw me, and she said, "Thank you, Brother Terry, for coming," and just gave me a big old hug. And Brother Ralph was standing there beside her, you know, he's there. He looked at her, he said, "Do you mean you know this rascal here?" Talking about me. And she said, "No." And she said, "That's my spiritual dad right there. His wife led me the Lord. He led my husband the Lord. Is there a cause? You better know it. There's a cause for our somebody's got to win them. Is there a cause? There's a cause for our country. Miss Janet mentioned that man is dying right now that Brother Cooper led the Lord. There's a cause for our converts, brother. There's a cause for our country. There's a cause for our children. I want to say there's a cause for our church's sake. There's a cause for the church. We need the church. We need this local church. We need the fellowship. We need to worship. We need to amen. We need to pray. We need to sing, and we need to shout. We need the excitement in our churches. We need to come here and bury one another's burdens and pray. We need to get hold of God and hear the Word of God. Yes, there's a call for our church's sake. Boy, the most exciting place in this thing ought to be. It ought to be Pearl Lake Baptist Church. It's not. I don't know. Our church is dead. But this ought to be the most exciting place. I look forward to church. I love church. I love church. I don't have to preach. In fact, I like it better when I'm not preaching, but as a good preacher. My wife told me before, she said, "You sure are different at church." You know why? Church is different. I get excited. I'm at home. I'm just walking around Mr. Dull. But I get in church, come in that door, man. Woo! Let's go! Hey, we need some calls for the church's sake. We ought to get excited. You ought to come away. You should never, never, never go to sleep in church. God forbid! Listen, man, this thing ought to be so exciting. You ought to be sitting on the edge of your seat. Just like this. Man, I was sitting on the watching that football game a couple of weeks ago, Brother Chris. I was in that chair like this. Sonny, they moved out of the way. I'd got it. Went in, Brother Robert. I'm telling you, you ought to be that way at church. You ought to be like Brother Bonks. He used to say, "At preacher trips, I'm jumping up there, man." I mean, this thing ought to be so good. You ought to come in this shout, praising God. Hey, man, let's get back to God for the church's sake. Boy, this country needs it. It needs some old-fashioned churches. Every time you miss church, you know what? There's a hole in the church. Especially a little church. Every time you don't tithe, you know what? Listen, you ought to tithe in this church. That's a tenth of what comes in. It ought to be. You got to pay these bills. Let's get back to the old-fashioned church. You ought to come to this church with a shout. You know what David said? He said, I was glad. He didn't say I was sad. Some of you look sad coming in. You look sad. Brother Lackey used to say, some of you in church, you look like you got baptized in a bottle of persimmons. Some of you come in mad. I've seen some of you mad. I told my wife, I said, so-and-so, she came in mad this morning. About some, I don't know why she's mad. I don't know. Thank God you got a mask on now. Can't really see who's mad. But about half of you come in mad and sad this morning. You ought to come in glad. You ought to come in that door and go, whoa, hallelujah. Back in the house of God. How we need a cause for our church to say. I can't stand a dead church. I'll be honest with you. Bless God, I'd rather just sit at home and watch the paint dry. Watch it being a dead church. Honest to goodness, this ought to be the most exciting thing in the whole world. God's been good to me, I'll tell you. Me and my wife, we've been in some good churches. Brother, we've been in them. They jump up and run around the building and hop on somebody's back. I've seen them, Brother Bill, Chris, I've seen the preacher get excited, run off this stage and get on there, run down the pews, sit in the top of those pews. I've seen it several times. I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm like Brother Lackey said one time, he misses that pew, there's going to be some slow walking and sad singing. No way! But I tell you what, I like to get hold of God. I mean, God, it ought to share the cause for the church's sake, man. Brother, you ought to say, hey, that Bible says over in Psalm, David said one time, he said, for a day in the house, day in the courts is better than 1,000. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. He said, I'd rather be just standing. I want to be a doorkeeper. Listen, be the one that says, I'm going to keep the doors of Pearl Lake Baptist Church open. I'm going to be the one that will tithe and pay the bills. I'll be the one prayer meeting. I'll be the one here. I'll be the one. I'm going to be the most faithful person at Pearl Lake Baptist Church. I want to be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. 8,000 to 10,000 churches are closing every year. I walked down this, when I took this church, pastor, I went and walked. I walked these rows up and down these rows. I walked up down by myself, knocking on doors. I'm pastor at Pearl Lake Baptist Church up the road. I'm coming to invite you to church, talk to them. I guess I had 5 or 6 of them tell me, Brother Lonzo, they said, well, didn't that church close? I thought that church had closed up there. I said, no, it's not closed. God forbid it close! God forbid it close! Hey, there's a cause for the church's sake! Get it going! Keep the doors of this church open. Brother, it please God. I want to say there's a cause for our country's sake. There's a cause for our children's sake. There's a cause for the church's sake. There's a cause for our converts. Somebody's got to win them. I want to win them. Isaiah said one time, he said, oh Lord, who shall I send? And the Lord said, who am I going to send? And Isaiah said, Lord, send me. Send me, Lord. Somebody's got to win those old converts. Hey, why not me? I like to win them to God anyway. We've led probably 20 people of the Lord down there at Cosby Lake Park. I know a lot of folks down there. I pray with a lot of people down at that park, man. That's my church, really. That's where I go to church, Pearl Lake, Cosby Lake Park. They call me the preacher there. So they call, here's the preacher. Hey, preacher, I got something to pray. Hey, preacher, I got something to tell you about. I pray for more people at park in a couple of years than I prayed in 6 years this church. For real. I have wept and prayed with more people at that park than here. Isn't that shame? Isn't that a shame? I want to say there's a cause for our church's sake. There's a cause. Let me just give you the last thing. For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. You know what I want to be, Miss Liz? I want to be a voice for Jesus Christ. That's all I want to be. That's all I want to be. My wife knows it. She's been married to me 45 years. She knows. How long? 37? It feels like 55. I feel like 57. You know how that goes. I better keep up with that stuff, Miss Rachel. I know the date. That'll work. But you know what? That's what I'm about. That's nothing to brag about. I've done which is that my I'm an unprofitable servant. I've done which is that my duty to do. Hey, man. God save my soul, brethren. Miss Pat, I was going to hell. I was an atheist. I was a drug addict. I was a dope head, man. I was headed for hell or jail, man. A lot of my friends have done been in jail or in hell one. I was a mess, brother. I was a mess. I and my daddy kicked me out of the house, man. I was a mess. You know what he did? He reached down, took that piece of mess and saved that old boy and said, "Hey, go preach it, kiddo." I said, "Thank you, sir." Gave me a wife, never smoked a cigarette, never been in a movie, never said a curse word that I know of, grew up in a Christian generation. And God said, "Hey, I got something special. I got this virtuous woman over here for you, buddy." Me, Lord? An old dog like me, Lord? Gave me three of the most amazing kids that ever walked this earth. I got three grandkids that love God. Already some of them saved, man. And you're talking about, I want to tell people about Him. I don't tell them about Donald Trump. Are you kidding me? I don't tell them about Joe Biden. I don't tell them about that stuff. But I'll tell them about Jesus Christ. You normally see me out someplace. You see me at public. You see me at the park. You see me someplace. I got a baseball cap on. I don't like to wear baseball caps. They're uncomfortable. I never wore one until I found some that had Jesus on it. Every baseball cap I got has got Jesus on it, Miss Martha. I got some that says, "Jesus died for you. Jesus is the way. He's the only way." That's all they say. Every one of them's got Jesus right there on it. You say, "Why?" I'm trying to get Him out. If you see me out, normally you know what you're going to see. If I hadn't given it away, I got a button on. Not the Lord. You see, why? There's a cause for Christ's sake. That's what I'm about. You know what I got on my car? Bumper stickers. Bumper stickers. You say, "Why?" It says, "Are you saved? Jesus saved. Christ died for your sins." You say, "Why?" There's a cause for Christ's sake. All throughout the Bible, I read it over and over and over. Romans 15:30. "Now beseech ye, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in prayers." For 1 Corinthians 4:10, "For we are food for Christ's sake." 1 Corinthians 4:5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Over and over. All throughout the Bible, it says, "For Jesus' sake, for His name's sake," over and over and over. I want to be a voice for Jesus Christ's sake. That's it. That's all I got, man. I don't have anything else. You see me walking around there with a bumper, with a baseball. If you ever see me, and I'm honest. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. And I'm going to pour my heart out to you. If you ever see me walking around with a Make America Great cap on, or a Joe Biden cap on, or a Donald Trump cap on, or a Republican cap, would you please do me a favor? Would you call the UAB psych ward and tell them to come get me, because I have lost my cotton picking mind? I'm serious. That's not going to happen. You say, "Why?" Because, brother, there's a cause, and that cause is Christ's sake. That's it. I got one goal, one message, one hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ, a solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's all it is. C.T. Studd, I told you about him, great athlete. Greatest athlete of his day. His family was one of the richest people in the world. Had wealth, millions of dollars. It was worth about $2 billion. And as soon as he got saved, he gave it all to the mission field and went and served God. That old boy, he made a statement. He said, "If Jesus Christ be God and He died for me, there's no sacrifice too great that I could do for Him." He made the famous statement I've said many times. Only one life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. You say, "Is there a cause, preacher?" There's a cause, brethren. There's a reason to fight. There's a reason to keep going. There's a cause for our country. Oh, there's a cause. There's a cause for our converts. There's a cause for our children. There's a cause for this church. There's a cause for this church's sake. They need this church. And there's a cause